Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline, and my throat kind of hurts today.
Why?
Well, it's actually not even from the epic karaoke room that we had last night. It's actually from Friday night.
Oh.
From dancing.
Mm.
Guys, this weekend, my friends from college, the Bombshells, came to town. And if you're a Patreon member, you are getting like a true inside look, because one of my friends, Addie, who is a Chicago comedian, she is joining us on the Patreon episode. And honestly, we got freaking real.
We did.
We got really freaking real.
It felt kind of like when, not to liken us to our favorite podcast ever, but it felt kind of like when Kat and Pat have their like contemporaries with them, but like people that they clearly are friends with.
Yeah.
Also, I was scrolling through Kat's 2024 post today.
So was I.
And I was literally, I was like scrolling, and I was like, did she not include Pat? Did she not include
Pat?
Did she not include Pat? Last picture. But I literally was like, no way Pat is not in her photo dump for the year.
I mean, Fee, you know, I was scrolling through her post, and I was like, is she not going to include the photo of me and her? Is she not going to include our selfie?
Well, she put that on her close friends. Did you see it?
Oh, of course I did. Of course I saw it. Of course I'm on her close friends and I saw that. What a year. What a weekend, though. This weekend was so fun. Friday, we went. We actually had such a, like, classic Pittsburgh Mount Lebanon weekend. Other than sporting events.
Well, you didn't even step foot in the saloon.
Well, okay, and that was intentional, but they've all been there.
Okay, good.
But literally, our restaurant roundup was we went to Atria's.
Yeah.
On Friday
night. Which was like, when you sent me that text that that's where we were going for dinner, I was a little bit like, crazy pick.
Really?
I mean, I love Atria's, but it's never like, especially when I'm like with people my age, I'm never really like, that's the spot I'm trying to hit.
Yeah. I mean, we were like, what kind of food do we want? We're about to go binge drink. What kind of food do we want? And
I guess it's like, good because it has a little bit of everything. Like you can.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're doing hibachi this weekend. So we didn't want to do like
Little Tokyo.
Yeah. So
I'm
anyway.
Really glad that we went though, because
it was
they're
so good.
And because they're closing and then they're gonna reopen.
I know. It was really it was
like
good.
Perfect timing that we went.
Good dinner with good people and good food. And then we went dancing in Lawrenceville. And it was like a 2010s night and it was all 2010s music. And we get there, you guys, the dance floor completely barren.
Empty.
I mean, not a soul on that dance. Well, one soul. One solo soul.
He kind of like picture Kyle Moody from that Bachelorette skit.
Yes, take your time, yeah. Sweetheart, with Kim Kardashian when she hosted SNL.
So he was on the dance floor.
Yes,
in a three-piece suit.
And precisely, and sunglasses.
And sunglasses.
Yeah, and had the same hair as Kyle Mooney. It was interesting.
So he had some moves.
I mean, for sure.
He was just there to blow off some freaking steam.
That is all he was there for. He was minding his own business. He was like, I'm here for one thing and one thing only. So he was on the dance floor. But then, you know, we get out there and we decided to just start being the lives of the freaking party.
And it was perfect because, and, you know, I'm not necessarily going to like advocate for always being the first ones on the dance floor. But there are some perks to it. One being you secure your spot.
Oh, for sure.
Second, you get to train the DJ.
Exactly, Phoebe. And I wanted to discuss this, the art of training a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
I've always kind of had this power. I remember, I mean, okay, you guys, if you are new to the art of training the DJ or the performer, I want to let you know, this is not for amateurs, okay? This story I'm about to tell about when I went to Music Midtown with Chloe, and we were listening to the Bastille set, and
we have so many fucking stories about it always comes back to Music Midtown for you.
Music Midtown is really where it all started.
Right.
I mean, I was a sophomore in college, but that's kind of where it all started.
Right.
Anyway, So, and so many stories I'll never tell. I will never tell those stories.
And I think that's best.
Until we have a live show. Live show, all bets are off.
Oh my God.
We're collecting phones because, and all bets are off.
Because Caroline and I are going to be on such a fucking ego high.
Yeah, you won't even believe
it. We're actually going to be the most insufferable people for the week leading up to a live show.
And Phoebe's going to be shoving alcohol down my throat because, in Phoebe's words, on Friday night, Caroline, oh my God, you were so fun when you were drunk. I was like double. It was laughing
guys,
at you. You were really letting loose.
I was on the dance floor doubled over in laughter,
which is crazy because I was just doing me.
Yeah, but you weren't though. You were doing real you. And sometimes you sometimes you're a little more like buttoned up and you don't do that.
Well, I don't really like going out.
Well, that's okay, but I just think like maybe once in a while it might be good.
It's the company you keep, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they gotta really move to Pittsburgh.
I know, they really bring it out of me.
And like, they love
when I'm with
here.
Them, we just have so much fun. They had a great time. But yeah, so anyway, training the DJ. It's like, we're gonna stand out there kind of still, kind of like nodding our heads. We're gonna show you what we can do though. The second we get like a moment of, wait, I didn't even finish the Bastille story. Ugh, I hate myself. Chloe and I started chanting No Scrubs.
Just, oh, right, I just do remember
two
that.
Voices in the crowd. You guys, 15 seconds later.
15,000.
They start playing No Scrubs. Not their song.
No.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
That's witchcraft.
That's crazy. And then, you know, one of my exes who was on a certain TV show that we're probably going to talk about today, for sure going to talk about today, he would play music in Charleston and I would like just text me like, hey, I want this. And like he would play it with the whole band. And it's like that is an important thing to have.
Absolutely.
You know, so anyway, when you don't have such a direct line as I did with Bastille at Music Midtown or my ex at the bar, you have to kind of use body language to train the DJ. And so what we were sort of doing is being still, not in a rude way, just like a little head nod here and there, a little toe tap.
Right.
A little time to go get a drink now.
That and also it was like, because here's the thing, we were not only training the DJ, but we were also training
the audience.
The people.
I say the audience as if we were also performing and in a way we were.
But it was like we couldn't completely detached from dancing because then everybody would stop dancing and we'd go back to the barren dance
floor like,
we had before.
You guys need to be like boots. We were boots on the ground. It was like you need to hold on the fort or we go get shots and like come back.
I do just like want to say, well, first of all, I don't do shots. I don't do shots anymore. I don't do them.
I only really do green tea shots.
That was maybe the worst green tea shot I've ever had in my entire life. And
it was crazy.
The smell of it made me already want to throw up.
It was like a full cup. It was like a jug.
It was
every shot was truly a jug.
And warm.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was not.
Oh,
cold.
It was not good. It was not good. But anyway, that's a whole different thing. What I was going to say was, oh, listen, if you're a DJ in the Pittsburgh area and you're gonna have a quote unquote 2010s night, the Spins by Mac Miller should be in your arsenal already.
For sure.
I shouldn't have to hold my phone up and say you should play this and then get the response. I'll see if I have it.
I'll see if I have it is insane.
It's well, like one of the most popular songs.
I'm going to argue for a couple things here. One, I only want to hear girl DJs and girl songs. Not only girl songs, but like that's the thing is like I feel like, and sorry guys, but if you're a DJ, Kyle Cook, I'm looking at you. If you are a guy who's like, I want to feel like a god, so I'm going to start DJing because I have the best taste in music, I guarantee you, you don't. And they don't have the skill of reading the room.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, no, 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 you're going to listen to this because it's what you should like because I have impeccable taste. And it's like,
that's not why we're here.
We're here to dance.
You can do that to your girlfriend
if you
want. You
need to figure out
how
to do like, well, he doesn't have one.
No, but all I'm saying is like, do that.
Probably.
You can do that to your close inner circle.
Phoebe didn't even giggle at me saying immediately, well, he doesn't have one.
Well, because I mean, probably not.
Yeah.
But like it's do you can do that with your that can be your special interest. But when you're being paid to get people to dance, now is not the time to shove music down my throat.
Right.
That I don't know.
Precisely. And there were just too many boys. Too many boys being played, I think. And
there were too many boys there.
Yeah, there were a lot. It was a weird
guys,
crew.
Someone came on to me on the dance floor.
Someone came on to Phoebe on the dance floor. Okay. True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why every time we go out together, you get hit on.
And I was,
admit it.
Can I just say I was agog aghast because I wasn't like looking like I didn't have I wasn't wearing the outfit that I wore to the dance floor the night that I got picked up off the ground.
Let's just say I wasn't wearing the outfit that got me lifted off of the ground into air. Okay. It wasn't that kind of night. Yeah, but I was telling Phoebe, yeah, but you're so pretty. You don't even have to be wearing that.
Which was really
and,
nice.
And when you're having a lot of fun, you know, people see that.
Well, also like my sick moves.
And your sick moves. But again, you were also really letting loose. I don't know if you are like that all the time in Nashville because I don't go out with you. Apparently, you know what I'm like all the time. And that this was nothing like it. But was that girl worthy of a 365 tattoo, by the way?
I think I took that out of the episode. I think I did.
That's insane censoring.
No, it's because we talked about a ton of stuff after that.
Yeah, true.
That we had to take out. But I mean, still no.
Well, anyway, in the bathroom. So when you're on the floor, I'm gonna get to the bathroom in a second. But when you're on the floor, you're like, okay, I kind of hate this song. So you kind of say like, oh, the song sucks, but you don't like say it to the DJ. And you're like, I'm going to give you a chance. I'm not going to go make a request now. I'm not going to like be that presumptuous. Maybe just as the dance floor is just warming up, you are as well, you know? I don't know. But we then hear a song we like, go absolutely berserk.
Sing the whole thing and then he has to play the
whole
thing.
Sing the entire thing. He has to play the entire thing. And you are dancing. And then people are like, wait, those people are having fun. I want to be part of that.
Yeah.
People start joining the dance floor. And then what the hell is with the DJ then turning on another boy song? Right after that. Well, it's like every like time the crowd was alive, guess who was singing?
A girl.
A girly. A soprano. Can you get some soprano, some sops in here?
I love that at karaoke, I realized that me and Addie have a lot of the same.
You guys are tenors.
We have the same range.
You guys are tenors. You know what Kelly said? Phoebe has a really good voice.
Thank you. That's really nice because when we got home from karaoke, mom and dad said, yeah, in that video, you kind of sounded like Ariana Grande in that sketch.
Well, was it when we were doing Espresso and trying to sound like Ariana Grande? No.
No, it was the love song.
Well, Phoebe, it's okay.
Singing, I mean, and to be fair, I wasn't like trying to sound good. I just didn't think I sounded that bad.
Well, that was just one Snapchat, both.
Well, I sent that video to Taylor and she fucking loved it.
It was really fun. But so anyway, we trained the DJ on Friday night to the best of our ability, filled the dance floor. Addie comes back from the bathroom and she has rhinestones on her face. And Gibson and I are like, where the hell did you get those? Because we all, by the way, thank God my dressing room was ready because we all had a girls getting ready party.
Caroline was
a girls and gays getting ready party in my dressing room.
Caroline was dressed as Taylor Swift performing The Man. On the Eras Tour.
I forgot that. Welcome to the Eras Tour. You guys miss the sound of that, I bet. Us too. Anyway, yeah, it was. Well, I was like, I have no going out clothes, so we'll do this. But it worked, I guess.
Yeah.
Me waiting for confirmation that Phoebe absolutely freaking loved my look.
No, it was
okay,
great.
So Addie's like, oh, we got them in the bathroom. And we're like, what do you mean you got the rhinestones in the bathroom? So we go in. The bathroom attendant was like, could have been a road warrior. Road warrior vibes. I should have plugged the pod. She had sheets and sheets of rhinestones and glitter. And she was like, go for it. So then we were putting rhinestones on. And it was so fun. They're also insane and hilarious was a community vape.
I know. I saw that.
I was like, that's is this your so personal funny. Vape? She's like, of course not. This is my personal vape. And I was like, is it weed or nicotine? She was like, nicotine. I would never put my weed out there for everyone. I was like, that's so funny.
Oh, my God.
And literally, like, she was a label maker or something to write community vape on it. I was like, God, I hope we're sanitizing this. God, in a post-COVID world. But alas, you know.
There's something charming about it. Truly not being like post-COVID world though. That there's something true. So it's 2017
there's
about
something
that.
So 2010s, and that was the theme of the night. There was something so Euphoria high, which was also the theme of the night.
Yeah, didn't really get that.
Didn't really get that. They didn't but play that a single was Labyrinth what they, song what they said. So anyway, that was super duper fun. And then on Saturday we just kind of had like a chill day, but we did go into Grandpa Joe's candy store and decide to do like a white elephant.
You know how I feel about Grandpa Joe's.
Do I?
I don't like it.
Why? What's not to like, to be honest?
I don't like that it's there. I don't like that it's...
It's like actually such a great thing to be in that spot.
No, I think what pisses... And this is me being, whatever, annoying. But like the fact that we had DiNardo's... And I wasn't like... You know how melon people are like DiNardo's yeah. stands? Like I was never... I'm not like that. But I don't like that there's more than one Grandpa Joe's and that like... is now the candy shop up there. Like, I just, to me, I think something one of a kind, something local should have gone in there.
Well, it didn't.
I don't like that there's literally a billboard for something on that street.
Okay.
Well, on the side of the road.
It's okay, Phoebe.
That's just how I feel.
You've got to chill out. You are freaking out.
You asked.
You're literally freaking out. We did watch this weekend, which I don't think, have you seen City Girl? Oh, we got to watch it. Okay, so Parenthood, Sarah Ramos, who plays Hattie. Uh-huh. Okay, she's so funny. And she found like her journal from, I want to say,
I think I did hear about this.
Yeah, I was talking about it Friday night. I want to say it was her seventh grade journal. And she wrote a show in it called City Girl. And it's just exactly the way that someone that age would write a show, where like nothing really makes sense. Like there's this whole storyline about how she has these headaches. So she's going to the doctor, but she doesn't really feel comfortable with her doctor yet. Like, I don't know you super well. Could we go get lunch together? So they go to McDonald's and she's like, okay, now I feel like I know you well. And then he like gives her some pills and she's like, oh, my pills, please, headache, my pills. It's I can't even explain it. It's so funny. So she basically was like, okay, I'm going to take this verbatim and turn this into like a little mini series on YouTube. And she recruits like her famous celebrity actor friends to do it with her. So I can't remember their real names, but I'm going to give character names that I know them as. A Cinderella Story, first one. You know,
Lucy Hill.
That's, no. What? What? A Cinderella Story? You think the first one was with Lucy Hale?
No, I know it wasn't the first one.
Was the first one with?
I was kind of just like playing like a word association game right there.
Okay, well, let's be in reality. What was the first of Cinderella's story?
Hillary Duff.
Oh my God. That took way too long. By the way, the little mini version of Hillary Duff in A Cinderella Story is played by someone I went to school with.
Cool.
Thank you. Anyway, if that was me, by the way, everyone would know.
You would pass out. Caroline would walk into a restaurant and have us walk in before her with a pamphlet that like, kind of like how Alphaba walks into Shiz and she says,
no.
Okay, let me get this over
Phoebe's
with.
Phoebe's favorite bit.
No, I'm not seasick. No, I did not eat grass as a kid. And yes,
I have always been green. Yeah, exactly. So, mm-hmm.
And that would be Garrett walking in and we would have to be like, yes, well, she is little Hillary Duff
from
a Cinderella story.
It's actually respectful to do that.
No, she will not take autographs. No, she will not take pictures. No, you cannot take pictures of her. No, yes, you can applaud when she walks into the restaurant. But that's the farthest you could go in terms of acknowledging that she was little Hillary Duff in a Cinderella story, circa 2004.
It's actually, well, you know what? I would be a lot more benevolent than you're making me out to be. I don't know. I would be like, time is just kind of like a construct. I would be like, yes, you can take pictures, at least until I got bored with it, you know? But at that, you're right. I'm almost 30. So by now, maybe I would be like, okay, it's getting old. Like, I would feel like that maybe, you know? I feel like how Bill Murray felt when he met me.
Right.
Piece of shit. Anyway, no, I would walk in and be like respectful. And I would be like, I understand. If a Cinderella story meant as much to you as it did to me, I would want to know. If I were having dinner in the vicinity of young Hillary, I would want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just be doing everybody a favor by letting them know that.
Right.
So they can tell people if they want, mm-hmm. take pictures if they want with mm-hmm. me that I approve before you leave. That's all. And you all sign NDAs, but that's all. Because I'm going to talk at full volume and use government names, as I typically do. Anywho, what were we talking about?
You brought up A Cinderella Story and got literally okay. So furious with me that I said Lucy Hale.
Yeah, because it was kind of insane. Because you also, when you said Lucy Hale, neglected Selena Gomez.
Well, I just think...
Which I feel like you know better than to do.
Well, that's my favorite. That's my favorite
one.
Yeah,
such a good one.
Except the actress...
Tell me something I don't know.
The actress that plays Lucy Hale's stepsister, though, in her Cinderella Story is so funny.
How many inches in a mile? What it takes to make you smile? Get you not to treat me like a child, baby.
Okay, Moira Rose.
It's just like the wait. I quoted the funniest moment in Schitt's Creek last night.
I forget what it was, but it made me laugh.
It is I think this is one of the funniest jokes in Schitt's Creek. It is when Moira. Well, first we walk into the karaoke room and Kelly goes, "Why are there ultrasounds on the TV?"
Oh, yes, yeah.
Because like the screensaver, Kelly, that looked like ultrasounds.
And they did.
Sonograms. So then I was like, ah, who put this picture of a ghost on the screen? Because there's this amazing moment in Schitt's Creek where Moira walks into her desk and she sits down, or it's not even her desk, I don't think. And she sits down and she's like, ah! She like has a scream and she's like, who put this photo of a ghost on my desk? And they're like, it's an ultrasound. I'm pregnant. And she's like, oh, okay.
It's so funny. Oh my gosh. I really hope that was just Catherine O'Hara.
Oh my God. God, it's so funny.
Just walk.
Who put this picture of a ghost on my desk? Also, like, you have two kids. You know what that is. So layered. So funny. Anyway, okay, so in a Cinderella story, the guy that plays her best friend,
mm-hmm.
he is in City Girl.
Okay.
Okay. Also, maybe from Arrested Development.
Yes.
She is in it as well.
Okay, Sly.
And also, Dylan Galula.
Yes.
She is in it as well.
I'm a big Dylan Galula fan. I can't remember anything that she's in right now.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
No, that's not really what I'm thinking, though.
Well, she's in it.
There's something she's really good in that I really liked.
You know who I always used to get her kind of confused with?
Lord.
Anya Taylor-Joy.
Right. No, that's fair.
I'm serious.
Well, now I'm also getting Anya Taylor-Joy confused with the girl from Heretic.
Yeah, but not. I'm not.
Well,
yeah, but I'm not. So,
oh, right, no,
I want to see Baby Girl.
I know I need to see it. You want to know what I'm seeing today with
what?
Ryan?
What? Wicked? Sing-along?
I don't know if the sing-along was sold out.
Fuck.
So we're not doing a sing-along.
Because I did text Kelly, what are you doing tonight? In hopes that she'll respond, nothing. Want to go see Wicked? But then I was like, we could go see Baby Girl.
I do need to go. I mean, I need to see.
There's a lot.
If we weren't taking Ryan and I was using this time later today to go see a movie, I would not be seeing Wicked again.
Yeah.
But I don't think Ryan's seen it yet.
Oh my God, we have to take him.
Well, Ryan's going to absolutely love it.
Yes.
I hope no one's in there because he is going to sing.
Well, you are responsible for telling him not to. Good luck. Good luck with that. So then yesterday, we all went and got a karaoke room.
Guys, this was the best 2 hours of my life.
Phoebe, immediately upon leaving the karaoke room, goes, we are definitely doing this for my birthday next year. By the way, her birthday is December 18th. We have a full 12 months before then.
Exactly.
She's already wants to book it, which you do kind of have. No one believed me. Everyone's like, let's add on another hour. And I was like, okay,
well,
but we're not going
to
be able to.
Let me just explain to you. I mean, frankly, that bar should just get rid of the dance floor, make it all karaoke
rooms. It
needs
to only be
karaoke. Because, sorry, it was...
We only have three.
We were all under the impression that we could add on an hour because every time we left the absolute party that was happening in our room, every time you walk out, it's like, is this
silent.
Place even open?
Yeah, there's no one. But it is also a restaurant. There's like another area.
That's what I mean. Keep the restaurant.
Yeah.
But make the dance floor just all karaoke rooms.
Yeah. Isn't it so fun?
Oh my God, I had so much fun.
Oh, that's what we did for my birthday when Steven came. And we did it for Kelly's birthday the year before.
Do you want to know?
We did it for Peyton's birthday, I think.
Isn't it crazy that mom and dad have been in those karaoke rooms?
Wait, yes, I forgot that they did. Wait, I was actually thinking last night it would be fun for the six of us to go.
It would be.
Do it.
It would be.
Anyway, it's also fun because it was like the perfect group of people to get it going. Like, one thing I love about Gibson is she is earnest and she is like, I will get this going. And it's like, you never want to be the first one, but like, she didn't mind.
And it's also just nice because,
and
like,
she has such a good voice.
Everybody loves karaoke.
Yeah.
But it can be hard at a karaoke bar when you're having to, number one, sit through people that you don't know. And number two, everybody has different ideas of what karaoke songs are. So like, when you're in a room with all people that are kind of the same vibe.
Yes.
It's like, you can do whatever song you want.
Yes.
You can do La Vie Boheme, like you've been doing in your shower
since you were literally
17 years old.
Song,
I couldn't
and
believe
everyone
that,
will join it.
I couldn't believe that was the version that was available.
Oh my God, that was hilarious.
It was fully like,
it was like the full movie version.
Truly.
It was so funny.
And it threw me off.
Yeah, not us though.
I hadn't been rehearsing with that
not
one.
Not us though.
They did have Welcome In, the Joel Grey version.
They did?
Yeah, but I was like, I don't want to do it if it's not the Alan Cumming orchestration.
orchestration. Oh my God.
So.
I
did ask Caroline to be the angel of music and she fucking refused.
Oh my God. Phoebe literally. Oh my God. Phoebe looks at me and she goes, Phantom of the Opera. I'm like, what? I was like, what? What? No. And I'm not singing Phantom of the Opera. She goes, no, you just have to be Christina. Christina? Who the fuck is that? Isn't Christine Daae?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I also, Caroline refused. I also looked for Jellicle Cats.
She was like, no, you'll just sing that part. I'm like, you mean one of the hardest things to sing in the musical theater lexicon, you
Gibson
bitch?
Gibson did immediately say, oh, I'll do it.
Oh yeah, I know. Well, Gibson's always down, but I'm not down. I'm not down to like maybe not sound good.
Guys, I have the most incredible video of Addie. Watch, like, what's so funny is Caroline goes, Phoebe, stop filming me. I was like, girl, I'm not filming you.
I was like sounding really pitchy.
Everybody can watch this
that
on silent.
That song is pretty hard to sing. She used to be mine.
You sounded great, but like fully tears streaming down her face.
Addie makes me sing it every time we're
together.
Addie
also dressed up for the song that she seemed most excited to sing.
Which was what?
waving through the window.
Oh my God.
She was fully in an Evan Hansen striped
shirt.
Oh
my God. She was. And she killed it. And she killed it. And she also, well, yes, she was like, this song is perfect for my range.
Well, like, that's what I was like, wait,
me too.
We have the same range because this is like a go-to in the car.
Well, it's nice. You also have every vocal part represented. You know, we've got you and Addie, like our strong altos.
Thank you.
You know, we have Clyde who can baritone. You know, but he can also sing. He can kind of do everything. We have Anthony, a true empty tenor. Gorgeous. We have Kelly, who is like an operatic soprano.
Wait, guys, when Kelly opens her mouth to sing, it's like, wait. Like,
yeah,
her
she's
singing,
like really good.
Her, I mean, obviously I know she can sing, but she's still like, she still sounds like she like
practices. Like, yeah. She's a technique. I know.
Like, she has such an ingenue voice of like classic musical theater.
Yeah.
When she was singing Defying Gravity, I was like, wait.
I know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Kelly's like really good. Yeah, and I know. And then you have Gibson and I, who are like the Beltresses, and Gibson's more of a soprano than me and more of like a mezzo. But then you've got us, and I think between us all, and then we've got like all the, you know, I'll do the country songs, and like Gibby can do the more like high family opera stuff. Kelly's gonna do your more operatic kind of songs.
She did not sing Thank Goodness.
She did not sing Thank Goodness, but that's because that's not really her song.
Well, I was just kind of just thinking of the only operatic thing I could think of.
Well, that's crazy. That's actually an insane thing to say. That is what's kind of funny though, because like Kelly is obviously like Alpha, but I'm Glinda, but also I really can't sing Glinda.
Wow.
Which is, I hate to admit it, but like I'm definitely gonna sound more like an Alpha. But right now I've just been letting, as Phoebe said, letting loose all weekend, and the throat is a little bit like, but it's kind of like way hotter than whatever Phoebe's was doing last week.
Okay. Hormone harmony. Road warriors, let's get real. Managing PMS can be difficult. When I get on to record the podcast with Caroline, it can be tough sometimes to lock into a cheerful mood. But good news, with the help of Hormone Harmony, I am able to manage my PMS and so much more. It helps me balance my moods and even improves my sleep quality. Hormone Harmony is dedicated to making women's lives better. One of the ways they achieve this is through science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. These help your body adapt to stressors. Hormone Harmony is third-party tested, non-GMO, and gluten and dairy-free. It's no wonder to me a new bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. If you can even believe it, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Pretty Little Podcast at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Pretty Little Podcast for 15% off today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Okay, we need to get into the hard-hitting news. I couldn't believe my eyes this morning.
Oh, it actually makes me sick to my stomach.
We do need to give a moment of silence, and not in a parasocial way, but in a way of like, it truly is really heartbreaking that Paige DeSorbo and Craig Conover broke up, and I think they would both also agree that it's very heartbreaking. And
I just really thought they were going to figure it out.
I didn't.
Well, it's not that I thought that they were going to figure out if one of them was going to move.
Mm-hmm.
I never really saw that for them, but I just thought they were kind of going to kind of pay. Maybe it's just not as feasible. Maybe I'm being naive, but in my head, I was like, they could be like a couple that paves the way to show that, like, you could be like I know they're not bi-coastal, but like,
right,
they could live in New York and Charleston and still. It honestly, like, part of me always kind of thought with them, especially like, I think it allows for maybe a healthier relationship in certain areas if you do have that, your own space.
Yes.
I think that's super helpful. But it's just,
I think
that's indicative of like, they probably, I think to me, it them breaking up because they couldn't, you know, ultimately figure out how to, if one was going to move or if they could make the two places work, speaks to how much they loved each other.
I agree.
Because I think it's like, I don't want to be apart from you. Like, I don't want it to be like we're living in two different cities, even if we can make it work. But I don't want you to sacrifice the life you've built and the business you've built. Like, I think it's, but if Amber's right, and if he gets back together with Naomi, I'm going to be so mad.
I don't know. I think Amber would love it if that happened.
I can't
love you, Amber.
Stand her.
I don't know either way.
Do you like Naomi?
I honestly don't have a super strong opinion on her.
I think what is hard for me right now is I'm watching like a pretty tough season for her right now.
Yes.
Because, but also since they started dating, I've been watching,
he's a different person now.
He totally is. But and he's no angel. She is so, I can see where his, when he's mean to her.
Yeah.
I'm like, you shouldn't have said that to her.
Yeah.
But she keeps putting you in positions where you feel like you have to be defensive.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't like, and also she did admit, she was like, I haven't been honest on camera of like, I'm so much meaner to him, which it's like, oh my God, you're meaner to him than what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't want them. Sorry, Amber. Don't want them back together.
It's tough, but though they're like so young, and that's what's tough about. Like, I think about that, and so in Giggly Squad today, they release it a day early, and it is like straight from Paige's mouth, basically her breakup announcement, and discussing, you know, kind of what led to this. And the truth is, it's what I think we all assumed it would be, which is that neither of them was willing to give up what they worked for. And like,
yeah,
I feel for them both. Like it's so hard. I didn't really think they were going to make it work, because what's so tough is just like, there comes a time where I just feel like this is a perfect example of two people who really love each other, but like, and I don't think it was a waste of time for her. I'm afraid that he's going to look at it that way, which I'm not saying. I mean, he would be, I think, justified if he were. I hope he doesn't look at it that way. But for him, knowing what he's wanted is, and what he's been working towards is like this family.
And like
this,
Paige has kind of become a part of his, not entirely, but
his brand.
Like they're, and for each other, they both have like.
Well, they have definitely lifted each other up so much throughout their relationship. And I think, you know, she started dating Craig when she was 29 years old. And I think she is, honestly, so in the Giggly Squad episode, Paige talks about, and it's the first time she's talked about it, and I was honestly kind of shocked to hear this, and trigger warning for, you know, abusive relationships, but she says that when she was 19, she was in a physically and emotionally abusive relationship, and she's like, I think a lot of the gigglers look at me like this super confident girl who would never allow that, who would never be in that type of situation, and like, I certainly didn't ever think I would be. And then I was, and I was a lot more insecure than I was letting on. And
yeah,
you know, it really can happen to anyone. And she's like, I really like have been through some really significant shit in relationships, and Craig is the best boyfriend I have ever had. And I feel that Paige coming out of that relationship and in the relationships that she had in her 20s that we saw documented on Summer House, you know, and on Giggly Squad, I don't know that she knew how much she was capable of and how much brightness was in her future. And I think that she was like, you know, you start dating someone, and I don't think she was immediately thinking one.
Yeah, I like what she said about like, you don't. Well, I like two things that she said. One, about how you get into a relationship and you're not immediately thinking like, what is this going to look like when it ends?
Or are we going to get married?
Yeah. And it's like, it is hard, like from Craig's perspective of, you know, he's almost 40.
Yeah.
And I think
he's 35. He's not almost 40.
Oh, why did I think he was a little bit older than that? Oh, but I mean, he's 35. And I think that in his head, he probably would like to be married.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard how do you balance like three things of like being upset that the relationship is over, mm-hmm. and then also being grateful for the time that you spent with the person and still caring about them,
right?
XYZ, and then also figuring out how to like not look at all that time as a waste,
right?
Especially as you get older. Like when you're in your 20s, it's like, well, I'm not supposed to marry the person that I dated when I was 20,
right?
But when you're 30,
yeah,
and you've spent,
well, and that's what's so neat, and Amber used the word empowering, and I think that's a great word to describe the episode, because what she's saying is like, you know, I'm 32 years old, I'm leaving this 3-year relationship, I've frozen my eggs, and I don't feel like I've even scratched the surface of like what is out there for me.
Yeah, that's a really
good
point.
Which I think
point.
A lot of, I think both Craig and Paige are going to walk away from this relationship knowing that they gained way more than they lost.
Totally.
You know
what
I mean? Like,
totally.
In terms of what they learned about themselves, the positive changes they've both made, the career advancements they've been able to make because of each other. And I don't think that.
I think it also like, Craig probably realized how good of a boyfriend he can be.
Yeah. Like,
and Paige realized how good of a boyfriend she deserves.
Paige also always says, well, I think Paige also was like, I don't need a boyfriend.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of what Paige has come away from this with, which is really interesting. And she says on the episode, I've always been a boyfriend girl. Uh-huh. Like, I have to have a boyfriend.
Which is so interesting because she doesn't, like, personnel. And maybe it's
she
just
seems so
maybe
confident.
It's just one of those things that, like, when you are an outsider looking in, you can see things in someone that they don't necessarily
right.
recognize themselves. Because listening to her talk, it's not even like a confidence thing, or and it's just her personality.
Yes,
seems like she wouldn't be super attached to the idea of
yes.
having a boyfriend. But I guess looking back on Summer House, she always did kind of.
She did, and then I think in this relationship with Craig, especially it being long distance, I wonder if it gave her that space to realize, like, you know, I love having a boyfriend and I'm in love with Craig and I love Craig, but I'm also okay on my own and
yeah.
I'm out here on my own and I'm doing a lot. And to be honest, right now, the most stressful thing in my life is the voice is saying that I need to move down and abandon what I'm fucking working on
yeah.
to go be in this relationship. And it's like,
because it is like the whole world just being like, Paige, why don't you just move down there?
And
why
like,
don't you just move down there?
Why wasn't it like, Craig, why don't you leave what you're doing and come to, like, it really just never was.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that Paige has probably learned through this relationship is that she doesn't need a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's something she knew when she was 29, you know?
Right.
And I don't mean to say that that's like Craig was a bad boyfriend and taught her she didn't need one. It's like Craig was the best boyfriend that she could have had. And allowed her to be, not that she needed someone to allow her, but she may have believed that, you know,
right.
after however many relationships she was in, you know, if you watched Summer House or listened to Giggly Squad early, you know, about her relationship with Perry as well. And it was this kind of older guy who had all this money. And she,
uh-huh.
you know, I think has been dependent on boyfriends in a way that she's like, now I am financially on my own. You know, Craig wanted to help her with this apartment. She said, absolutely not. Like, so she, I think, has learned a lot about independence and about who she is through being with Craig and being in a long distance relationship with Craig and like having a boyfriend, but also having to be an independent woman in New York.
Yeah. I also think I am having to confront an interesting thing in how I consume.
That you're like devastated over this, well, and you think you're parasocial?
No, not that. Because everybody's kind of devastated.
Yeah.
I think for me, Paige made the comment of not every breakup happens because of a Sandoval.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with that. But for some reason, like, and it's not that I, like, for some reason, it's just, it makes me feel more uneasy about the breakup that there isn't someone to blame.
Yeah.
It's not that I have a tough time. Like, that's obvious. Like, to me, that seems like it's clear. Like, everything makes sense. For some reason, I'm just like, but they're. I love this
but
relationship.
They're meant to be.
I love this relationship so
yeah.
much. And I just feel like there should be something to blame that's not just like we couldn't make it work.
Well, I think that's honestly the same journey they've both been on for a while. Where they're like, there's
yeah.
nothing wrong with
just
this
like
relationship.
When you watch the breakup with Naomi, it's like, you guys shouldn't be together. You guys are so mean to each other. You guys are so bad for
and
each
other.
And
I'll be honest, there are moments where I was like, Paige, what are you fucking doing with Craig?
Yeah.
Get out of here. Like, there were absolutely moments that I had like that. And I honestly, it's a shame because right now I'm in a place where I like them more than I ever have. and they broke up. But and I Paige, think that's frankly, also such a good sign for them. It's like they both stopped like
Paige though made Craig way more likable.
I know.
And I do like Craig.
Yes.
But part of me is like I'm watching Southern Charm now and I'm like, would I have liked this Craig if I was watching this live? And I think I would have. Like, he's still pretty likable.
I hope he continues on this.
I think he will.
Journey.
I think because he's gotten, and I think that Paige gave him enough separation from Shep and Austin.
Yeah.
This is like the whatever cloud
is
just
it,
happened.
This is the perfect lighting.
This is perfect.
Yes, I agree.
It's not going to last.
No, but the lighting we have right now, you guys, the windows, like the curtains are open just the right amount, and the Christmas tree is going. There's like warm light in the room, but no overhead lighting. And there's like a tiny, it's like,
and the sun that was glaring in here, giving a bit of a cool hue.
That horrible, just, like, Saturday afternoon light that we hate.
Yes, was just covered with a cloud, and now it's, like...
It's, like, vibes are strong in here.
It's perfect. Craig was given some space from Shep and Austin, and I think also different perspective of, like, not dating within that group, even, to see the behavior that he didn't like in them. So now I think that going back to that without Paige, he's gonna like fuck off with this.
Now it's horrible.
This
again.
Is terrible.
Well, it's horrible again.
But I think that it will be harder for him to. No, it's coming out of that window. That one.
Yeah.
It's gonna be harder for him to go back to that behavior. I think he might, you know, prance around, but I think he's too famous to prance around Charleston like he used to.
I do too.
But I just mean he could be in his Shep era for like 2 weeks. But I think it's gonna. I don't think he's. And he didn't like it when he was younger.
Yeah, he's never ready to settle down. That's for sure.
And he always has been. I felt he was always a girlfriend guy. And
I think you know what Paige has always said though.
What?
Paige is like, I make men into husbands, and then I leave. Like, and she's like. She's like, every guy I've dated, it's like they date their wife right after me. And it's like, she's like, I think I teach them. Their parents are always like, no. And she's like, and I teach them so much. And then I leave. And
I'm
it's like, here's the finished
I'm
product.
I'm glad she has a good therapist.
She's like, I want to text their girlfriends and say like, you're welcome. Like that is. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm like
that
a little bit.
That would fuck with my head.
I'll be a little bit annoyed about Naomi just getting
the satisfaction.
The benefits of Craig, you know, at his peak. After everything, but not that Craig was an angel, but anyway.
Do you think that there's a chance that they get back together?
I don't know.
Is she single right now?
I think so. As far as Craig and Paige, I just wonder what's next. I'm also wondering, like, okay, now we're going to put our speculator hats on. We've done, you know, whatever. We're going to get a little speculative now just because it's fun. And you guys don't need to call us insecure and petty about it, okay? Or you can. I don't really care. But, I wonder what Craig's going to say. Craig hasn't spoken on it yet. And she says in the episode, I love Craig. I think Craig loves me and I think we'll be friends. And that worries me. And maybe I'm reading too much into it, but that statement worries me a little bit that like, because I think it's pretty clear Paige made that decision. And I also feel like if I'm Craig, I might be a little bit pissed off. Like, at myself as well. That like
the writing has been on the wall, people have been telling me. Absolutely.
This.
I just think that he like Craig and maybe I also am trying to be like cognizant of like is part of me
lighting is great again.
Is part of me blaming Paige because she's the woman, like subconsciously.
Are you a misogynist?
But
the audience says yes, by the way.
I feel like we got a lot of clips and a lot of conversations throughout all the shows that they've been a part of and everything, where it does seem like Craig was always the one who was
wanted more
and wanted to have those harder conversations and didn't want to put things like wanted to go into the problems, not like all that stuff. It just always felt like he was more willing to put in the work there.
Yes.
Not Paige was willing. I just mean more
so. And of course,
so.
We don't see. We don't know. But
right.
like,
but
from
it,
what,
like,
what
like
the
when
edits.
They'd get, when they'd be on the phone, it would be like Craig and Paige would be like always a little apathetic. And we know with Paige because of the podcast.
That is who
we
she
know
is.
She's a little bit like more apathetic. But I could see Craig like being like, you let me like first of all, now I look like a fucking idiot because everybody's been telling me that this wasn't going to work.
He was also just on Watch What Happens. And she did say they've now taken the time for themselves to process for their friends, for their families. And now it feels like she can tell people. So this isn't a decision that was made this weekend. I don't know when it happened. I'm sure we're going to get more details. I'm sure more is going to come out. This is just all we have right now. I do think, and this is me, you know, I did just read an 80-page document on the PR of Hollywood. So I just want to say, there's part of me that's like, good move for Paige to get this out in her own words in this really empowering episode prior to Summer House coming out. And we all saw the trailer where it's like, Craig and I are going to break up and I'm going to lose everything. And I wonder if maybe it's not going to be, or she's worried about how it's going to look. I'm wondering the same thing about Southern Charm. It's going to be weird to be watching the episodes of them together. And that's going to be painful for them. And I wonder if reliving some of that stuff is going to bring up drama in the coming months. And this is her way of sort of getting ahead
maybe,
of it.
Maybe it will bring them back together. I still am holding out hope.
I know. This is a tough breakup. I
haven't felt this way about a breakup.
It's a sad one. Really, Hannah Burnham was like, don't be out here saying love doesn't exist. But it's like, oh, this just, it hurts. We love them together. What's also hard is we love them both separately.
I can't even say that love doesn't exist because I feel like a lot of love exists there.
Yeah, I do too.
It's not like a regular breakup where it's like.
Oh, you know, today's the worst day of Craig's life. The episode coming out, everyone knowing, like, oh my God.
And we lost a shot at Madison and Paige having a podcast.
That's the other thing. That's, well, who knows? I don't think Madison knows. Madison's loyalty is probably to Paige at this point. You know what I mean?
It took one dinner
party. It took one dinner. Now she's like, yeah, I'm going to get Paige in this one.
But I like actually can't believe it. I just have another moment of realizing it.
Now I'm like, I want to do all this like deep diving because I'm like, when he was on Watch What Happens, he was asked like, and his answer was different than it's ever been. Did you see it?
No.
He was asked, like, are you guys going to move? Are you guys going to get married? And Craig was like, I think we're just in a good place of, like, I want her to, like, do her thing. And I'm going to do my thing. And, like, we're just a different example of what a modern relationship can be. And
which is what I always thought. And yes. Which is why I did think ultimately it was going
to
work.
He was like, it's okay. We're good. We don't need to get married right now. I think I've taken a little bit of a step back from that. And I'm just like happy to be where we are. Like the way he said it, I was kind of like, I mean, he seemed in good spirits. He seemed good, but I was kind of like, and Paige wasn't there, which I thought was crazy. She lives in New York. He's like, oh, she's in bed. You know, she's been touring. But I also think that probably had a lot to do with her panic attack she's been having and,
oh my God,
and all that. So I don't know. I'll be interested to see what comes out about it. But well, it's definitely a sad day for any Bravo fans.
Okay. So Justin Baldoni is going to counter sue.
Oh, he is? I didn't see this.
You didn't see that?
No, I have been so unplugged this weekend.
It came out a couple of days ago.
You need to fill me in on what I've missed.
Let me see if I can find the article about it.
Oh, my God.
It hasn't actually happened yet. But his team is acting like it's going to be like, it's going to ruin her life.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they're going to try their damnedest. Is it the same team? Because that concerns me.
I don't think so.
Like, dude, if you really want to come out on top, my advice for you is to just take it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay.
People. What is he even going to sue her for? Slander? Libel? Like,
okay, Justin Baldoni's lawyer says, the truth about Blake Lively's legal complaint will expose those who believe themselves untouchable. I've never witnessed such unethical behavior fueled by those who abuse their power and manipulate the truth. Baldoni's attorney, Brian Friedman, tells People. Okay, so it's not a countersuit.
Okay.
This is not a response or a countersuit. It's a deliberate pursuit of truth.
What?
So what is he doing? Okay, yeah. Okay, Justin Baldoni's lawyer says that the actor's impending lawsuit against Blake Lively will not only bring forth the truth, but also expose those who believe themselves untouchable. This is not a response or countersuit. So it's its own lawsuit.
Wow.
And it's going to have its own. Let's see if there's anything that
I can't wait to read this one.
This lawsuit will uncover and expose the false and destructive narrative that was intentionally engineered by a trusted media publication who relied upon nefarious sources and neglected a thorough fact-checking process to confirm the validity of these texts.
So is it against the New York Times?
No, I think it's going to be against the people who put together the the actual legal documents.
This is a trusted media source, which makes me think it's the New York Times article.
No, but I mean, that could be part of it, but I don't think that's who they're suing, because they're also complaining that the texts in the legal complaint don't show the full context of the conversation and deliberately were screenshotted and cut to look as bad as they could. But I'm like, okay, they still looked bad.
Yeah, I can't like, really imagine that they didn't like send the text for you.
I mean,
you.
Unless the text before is like, let's pretend to send, let's pretend to be crazy and send the craziest text you can think of. Let's bury Blake Lively. Unless that's the text right before it.
Then I like, doubt. There's I agree.
Let me see if there's anything else in here. There is an insurmountable collection of authentic evidence, including timelines and communications, which have not been doctored or spliced without context.
Well, bring it on. I can't freaking wait to read it.
I know, literally.
And I'll let you all know what I think, and what I think will probably be right.
So that, we know, we'll have to keep our finger on the pulse there. There's not
we sure will.
A whole ton of information about that yet. But I'm like, I just don't know, like, if I'm in, and again, like, I am clearly not a master of PR, we learned after reading this freaking thing, but in my head, that doesn't seem like the smart PR move to,
no,
I always think contrition is the right move.
I agree.
And it doesn't matter if you, I mean, your career's ruined regardless, so why even risk?
But is the other thing, is it? He's a man.
No, okay,
you know?
I agree, but to an extent of like, okay, so in his head, if he's trying to salvage opportunities to work, he lost his award. Mm-hmm. I mean, his career in this moment might be over. He might be able to pivot, but I mean, like, since he's occupied women's spaces, it's kind of a different beast than the Johnny Depp stuff. Obviously, and the scope of what happened is I'm not necessarily comparing him to Johnny Depp, but I think, what was I going to say? Oh, I think that, like, if he were to just grovel and be like, I'm really sorry,
I agree.
Like, I think there's no world in which I think that's not just a PR thing. Like, I think in life, that's always the best route to just be contrite, even if you don't really believe you need to be. Like, you're always going to come out looking better if you have humility and you have some kind of apologetic nature.
Especially in a situation like this, like, where it's like, dude, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You made some fucking mistakes on that set. And there was a monopoly of power. And the things that are in this document, whether or not they show the whole story and every side of the story, I mean, most likely what's going to happen is they're going to release, you know, a couple other sides of some things that it's still going to be people choosing one way or the other. Yeah. So it's not like it's going to absolve you of what's already out there. You know, it's just going to make this last longer, ultimately. Mm-hmm. And
also, there was another article I can't find right now because people post so much, but
I just want to say the reason that I'm saying this, that I think it's not always best to be, because it's like Blake, I think Blake is doing the right thing.
No.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
I know that's not what you're saying.
I mean more like, and not to like make it a man or woman thing, but I think point, like, typically when it's, when you're being accused of, when you, the stuff that Blake was being accused of is very different
than this. Yes.
And
yes,
frankly, if you had asked me a couple months ago and I didn't know all this, I probably would have said, yeah, Blake, just fucking say you're sorry.
I know.
Even if you've nothing to be sorry for.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like, especially for celebrities, I just feel like that's an easy way
it's
to just
the move.
Get,
like, that's what people want.
Wipe your hands of the
thing. That is
the,
what people
thing.
Want. And honestly, the Justin Baldoni portrait that's been painted for me by all of the people that love him
is that he would be contrite.
Is that his response to this would be, you know what? Obviously, I have some learning to do and some listening to do.
I'm going to look in the mirror.
And I'm going to read this complaint and I'm going to take this to heart and I'm going to come up with a plan that is going to ensure that I never land.
And I'm
going to
see how my publicist and my team was talking about me.
Yeah, and talking about the people that I'm, you know, employing and trusting to helm a movie and like my scene partners and people that there needs to be mutual respect on the set. And I think that, like, for him, I would have expected his response to be more like, wow, you know, as he said before, men need to realize when they've made women uncomfortable without knowing it, you know?
Exactly.
And it's like, he needs to be like, I obviously have some listening and learning to do. I haven't been perfect. And even people like me who I've dedicated my life to bettering myself in this way, there's still room to improve.
Uh-huh.
And maybe there's a world where he could have sat down with Blake and been like, how do we work together to fix this? And this could have been done really differently.
I also want to say,
now I don't know the logistics. I don't know if it actually could have been done like that, but yeah, that's just what I would have expected, honestly.
The last thing I'll say on this, just because we don't have a whole ton of actually new information, the last thing I did see was that, or maybe I saw this before I knew about the other lawsuit, but anyway, they're basically suing, I believe, for the same thing that Blake is suing for. It's like a smear campaign. And to that I say, I think, and I don't know the law, so I don't know if you can prove, I didn't really know smear campaigns were illegal.
Yeah.
I don't really know how any of it's happening.
You can sue someone for character assassination. Right.
And if it's slander, I think you do have to prove that there was actual damage caused.
Mm-hmm. Which Blake has now done.
And I don't think Justin can do the same thing. Even if he can.
He just got dropped from his talent agency.
He got an award rescinded. But they're talking about, I think that they're saying that there was a smear campaign from her camp running simultaneously to the one.
You don't think they're saying right now?
I don't think so.
I think that's what a lot of people are saying. She's doing it right now.
No. But I'm what his lawyer said.
Okay.
His lawyer. People posted about that there was another smear. There were effects back then that were also affecting his career, which I don't think is true.
Yeah, no, I don't see that. But if they're saying presently, they absolutely would have a case, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's why I would say, like, there's no way he's not using what's happening now, you know,
Then I feel like there has to be a catch of, like, it's, and I get, but...
I mean, I'll say I saw nothing about Justin Baldoni until now.
Exactly. What I'm trying to say is they should be able, in order for her to be found liable, like, I don't understand how it can't be a countersuit. Because to me, I'm like, however Blake's suit turns out will determine whether or not what happened to Justin Baldoni was slander. Because if a court of law finds that all of what she said is valid, then it's not a smear campaign. That's just the truth.
Road warrior lawyers, please weigh in. I have a question.
Because we're so stupid.
Speak for yourself. I have a question. Can you counter a suit of this type, which is like, you know, slanderous smear campaign, blah, 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 with the same thing? I wonder if you can't. I wonder if you can't countersue.
Isn't that like double jeopardy or something?
You know what I mean? Like,
no, that's when you're charged with the same crime twice.
So
you
I'm
can't
like,
do that.
I wonder if it's
Which,
just also more powerful for them to have it a standalone suit.
I don't quite understand. Never mind. I just freaking unlocked it in my brain. Never mind.
You want to walk us through it? Or?
Well, no, because it's kind of embarrassing.
Do it.
Well, in my head, I was like, what do you mean you can't be charged for the same crime twice? What if you kill someone twice?
Mm-hmm.
I realized immediately when I almost said that out loud that they mean like you can't go under trial for the same murder twice.
Oh, yes.
They can't retry you, I guess.
Unless it's an appeal.
But that's a different case.
Okay. Yeah, but so I mean, like, we're not a law podcast.
I think that's like, isn't that like the Fifth Amendment?
You know what? Our Aunt Liz is listening to this right now and she's like, Sean, you need to call the girls. She's like, they sound so crazy.
They sound so stupid.
Oh my God. Well, okay. Moving on to something else. What do you think of the rumors that I saw last night that Beyonce and Post Malone are having an affair?
I think that's sick in the head, and whoever started that probably needs psychiatric intervention.
Wow. Okay.
Caroline's like, okay, delete that Reddit thread that I created last night.
That. No, I saw it on
Caroline's
Twitter.
One of those accounts that Blake listed in the
lawsuit.
Yeah,
I was hired by Melissa Nathan. I get a cease and desist sent to my door after saying that. No, I was on Twitter last night. Twitter, a very reliable news source.
Of course.
I saw, and this is just something funny to speculate about, but I did see something that said, apparently Beyonce's like, yeah, Jay, you got your turn and now I'm getting mine. You better sit down and shut the fuck up. And apparently is like,
maybe I've always kind of been more of the camp of, I think she and Julius are having an affair.
Oh,
her bodyguard. Hence the song Bodyguard.
I mean, it's a little on the nose, I guess.
But everybody said that when it came out. But it is a little bit like,
if everybody said jump off a bridge, would you do it?
She did write Lemonade.
Yeah. No, I know.
And that was a little on the nose.
I know. I am like, you're really on the nose with these things. And then you're like, I don't want us to be mad at your husband.
You're on the nose with all these things. And then you like go to the Mufasa premiere with your whole family and act like you guys are like the first family. And it's like,
yeah. And it's like,
we know a lot about you guys.
There's been scandal here. Look, I've had scandal.
You guys have had scandal.
You guys have absolutely had scandal.
Okay, I don't know if I had a dream or if I actually saw this, but I do believe we got like a list of scenes that are going to be in the director's cut.
Wicked. I've actually seen some of them. Have you?
No, and I don't want to.
I don't want to either. I saw two by accident and like I was like, wait.
Did you see I've had scandal?
No.
Did you? Okay, did this one make it in? Because my favorite part of the Lost Culture ep was Ariana impersonating Bowen doing this line. Where Bowen is walking around shiz and goes, okay, I'm gay, but I don't want it to be the most interesting thing about me.
So good. Why did you write my Shayla trend?
This is my favorite fucking trend on the internet right
now. What is it? Let's get on it. What is it?
You know that sound that's like, my Shayla?
No.
Gibson literally made one of these TikToks.
Okay, well,
But it'll be like me when I'm fighting with my boyfriend and then I remember this is him. And it's all the cutest baby pictures and like pictures
of their... Okay, wait, no. I did see Gibson's, but maybe I just didn't listen to the sound. But I saw Gibson's.
It's the sound of this guy going, my Shayla, my Shayla, like crying. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the pictures of some of these boyfriends as kids are unfucking believable.
This is
so
funny. Well, are any of them as cute as Junie from Spy Kids and Meghan Trainor's son?
That's the vibe of the pictures that a lot of these guys are. Well, I did see one yesterday that was like, when I want to participate in this trend, but I look at pictures of my boyfriend from when he was in elementary school and he looks like he was pushing kids into lockers.
and it looks like Spike from Toy Story.
And then they show it and he's like in a big football jersey, like going like this, and he has a mohawk.
And they look like Phoebe in elementary school, and you're like, wait, you're an intimidating
person.
Whoever
I date would have a field day with this trend.
Oh my god. So they're like, wait, now I'm more mad at her.
Wait, now I'm fucking annoyed at her because of that fuck ass hat she used to wear.
And she's still wearing hats. Something else I wrote in here is that, so you all know that my phone's broken? Do you all know that my phone's broken?
Guys, did everybody get their fucking national telegram that was sent out about Caroline's phone being broken?
My phone is still...
And Dan, did you get the owl that came through your window telling you that... And
no,
the carrier pigeon should be coming on New Year's Day.
Yes.
To remind you that our phone's still broken with a GoFundMe link.
My phone is...
that I sent. Because I'm fucking tired of this shit.
My phone is still broken. Well, I had to let the bombshell see it this weekend.
What, Caroline, you don't have a choice.
It was so funny.
You actually couldn't hide it from
people.
No,
I mean, I could have gotten it fixed. I just didn't because I wanted them to honestly see. I was like, I need you guys to understand why I've been a little MIA in the group chat. I've been... And then, like, they couldn't believe, like, it's so much worse than I imagined.
Caroline's phone literally looks like Charlie XCX performing in Times Square.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I just realized that actually when I'm texting with it, when I'm taking selfies with it, anything like that, it's actually just prepping me. My strobe light phone is just prepping me for future pap walks.
Guys, it's the most...
So now I can never get it fixed. I don't want to go back to a world where I'm not used to it. Because at any moment, I need to be ready.
It's the most attention-grabbing thing in the whole fucking world.
Thank you for not saying attention-seeking.
Well, your phone is seeking attention.
My phone is seeking attention. It's like, girl,
this
is my
show. Look at me.
Totally is. Before we go into our rotations.
What am I on today? Dream?
Yeah. No, I'm on dream. No, I'm on nightmare. You're on dream. I wanted to share this fun quote from Giggly Squad today where Paige said, it's not okay to cry on the internet, but it is okay to cry on your own podcast. And I'm like, I can relate to that.
I have never cried either place, so.
I've cried on this podcast. You've cried from laughing so hard at me.
Maybe.
Because I'm such a hoot. But then Phoebe edits out her laughter.
Guys, I promise you, that's not true.
That's happened before. You said it. Sometimes you don't like how you laugh and you edit it out. You've told me.
I have not told you
that.
Yes,
you have told me that, but you admit it's true now.
No.
If you don't think you've told me that, that's fine, but you admit it now.
No, but I don't think I've done that.
Yes, you have. You told me you like coughed in something and you cut it out.
Oh, well, yeah.
Most times. So now I have no choice but to believe you do it every episode. And I'm like, okay, that was funny. And I remember
laughing. I definitely don't do it when we're in person because you'd be able to hear it.
Yeah.
But when we do, sometimes it's like if Caroline's talking and my laugh is really loud or I'm saying something, I will cut out the less important audio.
Of course.
So that it's easier for y'all to listen to. You're welcome.
Oh, I thought of something for your dream rotation if you don't have it.
Can't wait to hear this.
Do you want me to, do you want to know what it is?
Yeah.
Doing the Wicked dance on the dance floor at Belvedere's with your sister.
Yeah. Well, yes. And Kelly. I did it with Kelly once.
Okay. I did it with Clyde. Also my sister.
Okay, so we both cheated.
So we're both dirty cheaters is what I'm hearing. Yeah, we did the Wicked dance on the dance floor. So
also,
what?
Guys, how fucking funny. I didn't look at Caroline and say, let's do the Wicked dance.
Well, I know it, so.
I came up to Caroline and did the, I put my hands up against
it's
hers.
It's an unmistakable move. I knew what
Caroline
you wanted me to
also
do.
Also on the dance floor. Like
it was more of a prompt.
Or if I'm like at the bar and she's like, she has her drink and she's over on the other side of the bar.
Do the little hand.
But actually we realized that our version of the little finger wave is actually a tip of the hat.
Yes, exactly.
And unfortunately, that's not as subtle as Elfie and
Glinda.
As
their little wave.
Because we do have to fully jump off the ground.
A foot in the air, at least.
And do a backflip, in case you guys didn't realize.
You guys will see it one time. Okay, well, let's move into our rotations, and you, unfortunately, are first.
Okay, fine. That's number one.
Okay, cool.
Number two is...
Like, this should be easy for you. You just had the best weekend of your life.
No, but I can't pick favorites.
You could take out the one I put. And
okay, number two is Queen Millie. Queen Millie. And
the doggy dog.
Hey, shout out if anybody's listening.
Shout out if anybody's listening.
But this dog, she has really come into her own.
Yes, she has. This dog, Phoebe and I dog sit. Sometimes her name is Millie, and sometimes she has feathers in her hair, which is when I'm like, you're your truest self. I'm actually shocked she didn't have tinsel in her hair. Guys, we went to Hibachi last night, and the chef was like, does anyone have anything like hair products or anything that might catch on fire? Hello. It was like he knew I had tinsel in my hair. I was like, is tinsel flammable? He's like, yes.
Oh my gosh, we did have the cutest little experience at Hibachi of us being like, there was this other table where the adults were on one grill and then all the kids were on the other grill, and the kids watching this man cook,
oh my god,
it was like what I would give to have that feeling again.
And it was like, man, we really are all just still sitting at the kids table. It's just grown up now.
That was so deep.
Thank you.
Dream rotation that.
No.
Okay. My dream rotation, the Nintendo Switch that I don't have but do want to buy. I'll buy it one day.
Do you want to play a little Switch after this?
No, because I do think I kind of have to start hurrying.
I feel like you have time.
We'll see.
It can be cart.
What?
It can be cart.
Okay, we can do one game of cart after this.
I'll see if Anthony's down. Okay, so okay, you're done?
Third is...
I thought that was it. You just did three.
What was number two?
The, somebody's... No, you did have a number two.
Whatever. I guess I did.
No, you did. Number one was the Wicked dance on the dance floor. Number two was Queen Millie.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. We literally just... Oh, okay. So Millie, a couple years ago, she's always been so precious, so cute. Love dog sitting for her. But she used to be a little bit hyper.
She's still a little crazy, but she was a puppy.
She used to like just, she would not want to go out. She would not want to do like XYZ. And I haven't dog sat for her in a long time. And I got into that house and I was like, oh my God, you're a preteen now.
She's so fun.
So fun, but then also like will listen to you.
Yes,
and
she's a great snuggler.
The way that she just fully presses up against you,
it's
wants to be as close
so
to you as possible.
Cute.
She's so cute.
We were talking about just like queening out with Millie. It's like
literally
the best.
And it's like I will never personally, and this is me being sexist, I will never own a girl dog.
Me neither.
But I do like dog sitting for girls because
I get a little taste of it,
and you can be. It's so fun to be watching a dog and say, "Hey, girl," or like,
"Girl."
Hey, girl.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. Totally. That's
great.
Thank
you.
And then wait, repeat your third one again.
My third one was the Switch that I don't own.
Okay, cool. Well, what would be your first game on the Switch?
Mario Kart.
Love it. All right, my nightmare rotate. First is, quote, up to sales. That's bullshit. Don't you dare put the number 80 huge on your sale thing and then up to is in tiny little letters
and then
underneath.
Like, and then it's like a pair of socks
and it's
with
like
Easter bunnies on them that
it's
are 80%
like there's
off.
One thing that's 80% off and like I'm going through the whole thing and like everything's like 15% off. I'm like, it's not even fucking close. So you should have to say like, take the average percent off or be like, okay, out of all the objects I'm selling, what are the most of them marked down to? Probably like literally 40, and use that, okay? Because I can't with the up to sales. It's bullshit. It's misleading. I don't like it. Okay, that's the first thing.
I agree.
Next is long distance friendships, but also not.
Yes.
My BFFs are long dist for the most part, and it's really hard. You have to be so much more intentional with your friendships, but I think we are really good at it. And we do a really good job at showing up for each other and like being there for big moments and celebrating each other and keeping in touch and like supporting each other. But it's really hard, and it stinks like when you have just like such a fun time with them. And this weekend was nice because like every time they've come to Pittsburgh, it's been like they're here for Hairspray and like I have to like take care of my voice and like be at shows, or they're here for the wedding and like it's packed, you know? So this was the first time it was like just have like kind of a normal weekend in Pittsburgh with us. And it was just so nice to just like live life with them and feel like we were in college again. And just, yeah, it was so nice. So anyway, I love them so much. I'm so grateful. Addie asked us to be her bridesmaids this weekend.
Slay.
She's getting married in 2025, which I think is going to be such a good year.
Addie made me laugh so hard last night in her house when she goes, do you guys have any snacks?
And what's I was like,
yeah, let me go into our snack cabinet and get like some, we'll get like a bowl of chips going.
Yeah.
And she looks at my mom's pound cake and she goes, what's that?
and then as the most massive slice like, of this cake, I literally saw it and laughed out loud.
Like a little kid, she was like, What's that?
Wait, have you guys done Box Ballin?
Oh my God, we're obsessed.
It's crazy. It's that thing that, like, I keep saying, it's that thing that Khloe Kardashian does.
Me the other night at 12:30, everybody's in bed. I'm watching Southern Charm and Box Ballin in the dark, basically.
What's the verb version of Box Ballin? Is it just Box Ballin?
I'm Box Ballin.
Box Ballin.
Yeah.
I'm Box Ballin.
But it's B-A-L-L-I-N instead of B-O-L-L-E-N.
Yeah, I think you're right. Anyway, it's really fun. We'll talk about that another day.
That could have been on my dream rotation.
But long distance friendships. It's just hard when they leave and I miss them. But I know they're always just a phone call away. Okay. And then next is taking down Christmas lights right away. What's your problem?
I agree.
That house, really one of our favorite Christmas houses.
Love yourself.
What the hell? And also, I'm sorry, especially if your lights aren't like super Christmas. It's not like you have a giant Christmas tree in your yard. You just have like warm lights and some wreaths on your windows. That can be festive. I believe through the end of January.
I think that the earliest you can take your Christmas lights down is January 1st.
I agree. That if you do before then, like,
sorry,
what's
the
wrong
month
with
of
you?
December is fucking Christmas. Grow up.
Yes. And I, for one, am going to keep it up till January, probably.
Well, all my Christmas, I intentionally left all my Christmas stuff up when I left Nashville.
Because you don't want to be fucking depressed.
Because first of all, I think taking it down before, like, and then coming up here for Christmas, it would have felt like really depressing.
Yes, I agree.
But then also I was like, I like how my apartment looks right now. And like with Christmas,
so
my friends
too,
are coming,
like,
over.
I get so much more of the like maximalist cozy vibe that I love during Christmas time. Cause there's so much more stuff up here, but like, I love how my fireplace looks. I love having the tree and the warm light and like,
yeah,
I just love it all. And
so who's missing there?
Well, we just have one for the dog. Cause I can't find another one of the stocking. I have two stockings for me and Anthony, and then one, it's this really cute like bone faux fur stocking, but I literally have tried every year at Target to get another one because I love it and I can't find one. So right now they just share one.
Oh.
But that's okay. We don't even do stockings, so honestly it's fine.
Wow. Well, this was a freaking crazy episode. Very sad. I feel like we just recorded the episode of Giggly Squad.
It was a sad, but it started out really happy. I think this was a good episode. I hope you guys enjoyed.
And I know my voice is like pretty much back to normal.
Thank God. Yeah, this is a great episode. We'll be back to our normal recaps on Thursday. The holidays are crazy. And then also, if you're listening today on the 31st, Happy New Year's Eve. Next week, I do want to talk about our resolutions. So let's do, okay, Phoebe, just literally did something violent, but sorry, I am into bettering myself in the new year, and you don't have to be, but I am. And then we will be starting a new Patreon year, a new 2025 Patreon year. And so if you guys have any ideas for us or things you'd like to see, if you love the Addie episode, again, if you're listening today on the 31st, and you are an honorary Connell sister, you get your third Patreon episode of the month today. And it is
Sorry it was a weird schedule this
week. Yeah, it's featuring Addie Brown, but then also there's an episode from last week as well, if you're a Dream Rotation or Honorary Connell Sister, so check those out for sure. And then let us know what you're doing for New Year's Eve. What are you doing for New Year's Eve, Phoebe?
I'm going to a party or two.
I'm going to a party or two.
But I'm already feeling tired about it.
Really? I kind of like hate going out for New Year's.
I hate New Year's.
Yeah. It's just always a letdown.
It's not even like it's just like too much work.
It's a lot of work.
And it's like, it's not like, to me, it just is never really as fun.
It's a letdown.
Never as
fun
as you, but it's also just like, it's never more fun than like a regular just like
you
night hanging out.
You think it should be something special and then it isn't, and that's kind of
like
why it's a letdown.
Get together with our friends. Like, who gives a shit?
Well, that's what I'm going to do. I mean, well, obviously we're celebrating Peyton's birthday.
Well, yeah.
So everyone wished Peyton a happy birthday today on the 31st. She's turning 9. That means next year's double digits, which is making me emosh. But then at nighttime, I think literally we're just going to be chilling, because also people do fireworks everywhere, which I fucking hate. Don't do fireworks like in a residential neighborhood. I think it's weird. Don't do a full fireworks show next door to me. I have 2 dogs. And so do you, family who does it. Yeah, I'm talking about someone specific. Anyway, you'll get 2 more episodes from us this week. Actually, you might get... Never mind. You're not getting 2 more episodes from us this week. You're just getting the Thursday episode, and then you'll get the Addie episode.
Well, in theory, you're getting... Yeah, you're getting 3 episodes this week, technically.
Lucky you.
If you pay.
And Phoebe's like, show me the money. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We love you so much. And we will see you next week in 2025. This is our last episode of 2025. Oh, my God. Okay, really quick, what was the best part of 2024? 1, 2, 3.
And
Sarah Shepherd interview.
Sarah Shepherd interview.
That was actually crazy that happened in 2024.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen in 2025? Who knows what celebrities we're going to have beef with in 2025? I can't wait to find out. We'll see you next week, guys. See you next year. And Happy New Year. Split.
Happy New Year.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.